Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
All right, well, welcome back, everyone, to Faking... hey, Zach and Seth, do you guys, like... Do one of you have a pet, like baby duck or chick now? Or have you guys been watching a lot of Friends or something?
Or... Well done. I applaud that effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We gotta get people behind that show because I'm afraid that it's not gonna make it if it's
us. It's right on the edge there. That's true.
True. Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. So welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode 38,
bitch.
I think.
Was this the plan all along for like months now?
Here we are at episode 38. My name is Seth, of course, and I'm here with my friend Lee.
Furious.
How are you doing today?
So mad.
I'm very good. Thanks for asking, Seth. Lee.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how to proceed here. So
we're back. As always, you know, check us out on fakingmovies.com, fakingmovies.wordpress.com, iTunes, like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Hey guys, before we get started this week, I was wondering about something. It's movie related, so I thought I would ask you guys.
Oh, sure, sure.
I'm right about this, right? Like, Napoleon Dynamite is bad, right?
Oh god. Ooh. Yes, I hate it so much.
I don't know. I mean, I remember liking it a lot. I bet it doesn't hold up at all.
So like, that's what I assume too, Zach, but I watched a clip or two on YouTube yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And I didn't hate it.
Oh, curious. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my hatred of it is also situated in the fact that immediately after it came out, I was in high school, and it was quoted ad nauseum by every douchebag in the entirety of my high school, and I just wanted... It was so goddamn annoying that it really painted that movie for me. That's why I hated it so much, is all
so
the quoting.
Seth, you said a few minutes before we started recording that your roommates were cooking right now. Are they making some dang quesadillas, or...?
No, we're not doing this all that part.
You know what?
We almost broke up last week. We can't do it again.
Because See, that's the problem, is I'm going to have to come over to your house, Lee, and stab you in the dick. So...
Oh, boy.
So what are we doing this week?
Okay.
Great question. Yeah.
So this week, Lee will be faking a movie called The Pope of Greenwich Village, or Greenwich Village, if you want to call it that, and are an asshole.
I do,
but,
and I am.
That is how I was typing it over and over again. So
So, Lee, what actors and actresses did we give you for this?
You gave me at least in my movie, still beautiful Mickey Rourke.
We'll discuss that.
Oh, we definitely will.
A still striking Eric Roberts. A always chunky Burt Young.
Yeah, that's... Well...
You're three for three.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable putting, like, adjectives for the female cast members because it'll make me sound like a dick. Especially since for Daryl Hannah, I want to say an underwhelming Daryl Hannah.
Well, yeah. Maybe an always weird Daryl Hannah, perhaps?
Based on our Legal Eagles discussions. That's what I'm basing that on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And her entire body of work. So, yeah. Accurate.
Fair.
And Geraldine Page.
Yes.
Sure enough.
the who badass, I assumed, awesome Geraldine Page.
Yeah. Oh, I assume she was much older, but
she gets a positive superlative for this one for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
She's real cool. We'll talk about it ad nauseum. Well, I'll
spoil slightly what I'm thinking. You could argue that she ends up being pretty badass in mine as well. So
excellent.
Cool.
Excellent.
One could argue.
Take her away there. Mm-hmm. Go nuts.
All right. So I wanted to start off this one by letting you guys know that as a kid, I had a VHS tape taped off of our local UPN station.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Of old episodes of Batman 66, the Adam West Batman show.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yep. And apparently the day that these were recorded, they were going to be playing The Pope of Greenwich Village on TV soon thereafter.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of shitty commercials.
Yeah.
Yep. And not all I can remember,
crossover audience, I wouldn't think.
No, probably not. Handy Snacks, Sega, and Pope of Greenwich Village teasers are what were on this tape.
2 for 3 that time. Yeah.
So, yeah. So what I remember, these three things fold yeah, into
oh,
your
yeah,
plot.
You gonna put all those in? Oh, got it.
No, but I should have.
oh, okay. Well,
so but what I remember from those commercials, the only thing I remember is the Frank Sinatra song "Summer Wind" plays that, during this commercial.
It does play a lot in the movie too. So
yeah. Well, it turns out I nailed that because that's, it plays a lot in mine as well.
That's oof, not a bad forward summary, if I'm being yeah, honest. Yeah.
Summer okay, wind plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good three word. Yeah.
So I'll get going here. The movie starts with Summer Wind playing, of course.
okay.
And
wait,
we see
not the Seals and Croft song?
Not a summer breeze, summer wind.
Yeah. Makes me feel
you Philistine.
Rolling through the jazz in my mind. Wow, 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 wow.
Gonna be
take
another
that,
anyway,
Zach.
Anyway, so summer wind is playing, and we see three kids, two boys and a girl, and the girl is kind of tomboyish.
Mm-hmm.
They are in Hoboken, New Jersey, and they're talking about wanting to hit it big someday.
Sounds about right, yeah.
As this is going on, they get called into school by Geraldine Page, who okay, is a nun. So they go to Catholic school.
Yeah, of course.
We get the title card 20 years later. And Summer Wind is still playing. It's coming out of the radio. And we see these three kids grown up. Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts are both priests.
Ew.
And Daryl Hannah is a nun.
What?
Is
that a yep, thing that happens at Catholic schools?
I mean,
like everybody just joins the clergy?
Well, these three kids did.
Okay, yeah, okay, okay.
I mean, if they had it their way, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So they still long for the big time, and we can still hear Sinatra playing on the radio. Mm-hmm. And now Geraldine Page comes out. She's Mother Superior of the convent at this point.
Cool.
And she admonishes them for listening to secular music.
That's
and okay, just as this is going on, someone comes in and he has news that there's a transfer opportunity that opened up from Hoboken to Greenwich Village. So
the quoted big time, one might say.
Yeah, yeah, this is the first step. They see this as the first step to the big time.
Okay.
I assume that it's like Mac from Always Sunny just coming in being like, I have news. I have terrible news.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, question two. If their plan yeah, was their entire life aspiration was to make it big, why did they all go into the clergy?
Yeah.
What's
I don't
the end game there?
Maybe okay, they well, didn't we'll have see, any we'll other see, options. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's I say feel like all, this must be leading somewhere. So.
Yeah, let's say they're all orphans. Let's go with that.
Oh, okay. Hoboken, yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, so, New Jersey, fuck off. Just kidding. I've been to you.
So,
you're fine.
Yeah.
Parts
so Mickey,
fine.
Yeah.
Mickey and Eric both want the transfer, obviously, uh-huh, and Mickey, who we find out his full name is Mickey de Medici, he ends up getting the transfer to Greenwich, and the story is going to follow him for a little while.
Okay, good.
We get to watch him rise through the church in New York City through shady methods.
Oh, cool. Like what?
Yeah, like political favors and bribery and things like that.
Awesome.
He isn't yet like he isn't like yet the bishop of the archdiocese, but he has so much influence in New York City that he's known as the Pope of Greenwich Village.
Naturally.
Because of this power that he's amassing, he ends up meeting Frank Sinatra, who is in my movie played by Burt Young.
Wait.
A very un-Sinatra looking man, if there ever was.
Yeah. Curious.
So the scene where they meet, Mickey is all like kind of awestruck, and he goes, "Hey kid, they say that you're the Pope of Greenwich Village. Well, I'm the chairman of the board." And see, we get him to throw his nickname out. They become friends, and Sinatra taps Mickey to like be his protege, and he wants to groom him to be the actual Pope. And this is when we find out that Frank Sinatra secretly runs the American Catholic Church using the mafia as his muscle.
Yeah, that sounds okay. Right.
You kind of had me, and now you definitely have me.
Mm-hmm. You know what the best part about this is? It's not incorrect. It's kind of real. Yeah.
Oh, double game. Yeah. All right.
I am making some leaps, but it is kind of real.
Sure.
Yeah. This is more historical fiction than...
than you expected
fiction.
In a movie called The Pope of Greenwich Village.
Sure.
So after a little while, the movie skips over to Eric. We find out that his full name is Eric Borgia of the House of Borgia.
Wow.
So he didn't get the job in Greenwich, obviously. So he decides to go to Italy and start out as like a priest, very low-ranking priest there, and he ends up working his way through the ranks, and he finds himself getting in good with the actual Pope. Like, he becomes his Pope butler kind of guy.
Oh shit, is this JP2?
It's a unnamed Pope inspired by John Paul I, actually.
Oh, John Paul I.
And I'll get into that a little bit more later.
Details. Yeah.
Yeah, I know a surprising amount about popes for someone who is not a Catholic anymore.
Sure. anymore.
Well, yeah, that checks out, I think. Yeah.
It was seeped into your blood.
Right.
Yeah. We got the special couch for just when the Pope visits. Mm-hmm. So Eric gets in good with the actual Pope, and Burt Young is going to play this character as well.
I like that a lot.
They're nutty, like mirrored performances.
Nutty Professor style, or they both look like Burt Young?
I think they're both going to look like Burt Young.
Oh, all right. Bummer. All right.
Yeah, so, but I want the performances to, like, two sides of the same coin kind of thing, like... Because both of these characters are running the church in their respective locations, and they're both kind of serving as those missing father figures for Mickey and Eric.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is Eric Roberts pulling a Under the Tuscan Sun sort of, like, romantic thing out in Italy? Or?
No. No, I didn't write any romantic subplots.
Wait,
in.
With that face? Are you kidding me?
How could he not be?
Gotta beat him off with a stick.
Tuscan sun in it. I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
So while we're in this part of the story, we're gonna learn that the Pope is embroiled in some shady financial dealings.
Mm-hmm. You don't say.
This is where the John Paul I stuff comes in. So it's inspired by the real life Banco Ambrosiano scandal. I don't know if you guys know anything about that.
Not even a little.
Why would we possibly know about that?
So there was a bank founded in Italy in the late 1800s that was very much tied with the Bank of the Vatican.
Yeah.
And over the course of the century, and especially in like the late 70s, early 80s, this bank was funding like a lot of like scandalous kind of stuff. Like they funded, they are thought to have funded the Polish workers uprising in Poland around that time. And
sure.
They funded a lot of like brothels. Despotic governments and things like that.
And despots, brothels and despots.
Mm-hmm. So, in the real life version, John Paul I was trying to reform the bank, and then he died, and there were conspiracy theories that he was killed because of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yep. In my version, he's the one pushing the shady dealings along. Okay. Like my Pope is, you know.
Way more fun.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a fun Pope.
Yeah. He's not a young Pope, but he's a fun Pope.
Mm, yeah. He's not a Ratzenberger. He's more of a...
He's more of a Innocent the Ninth, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's a Pope Benedict the 15th instead of the 16th.
Ooh, okay.
I do know that. That's a Pope fact, that there were two Pope Benedict the 15th.
14. Oh, right. Really?
I assumed we were going for things no one could ever possibly know.
There were two, I believe, Benedict the 15ths. They just, like, replaced a guy who died with another guy of the same name.
Oh, boy.
Oh, a lot of great stuff in the Pope.
Oh, popes are fun.
The whole black smoke, white smoke thing is really complicated, so just move over one and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to come back, so don't worry about that. Yeah.
Good. Yes.
So, Eric is, since he's like the Pope's protege in Rome, he's obviously like helping him run this scandalous kind of bank stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of rumors getting out, and it's causing a lot of people to lose faith in the church. So... Sinatra hears about this, and we keep hearing through like his mafia goons that Mickey de' Medici hangs out with that they're getting insider information from the sister at the Vatican.
Ooh.
So Sinatra and the mob start to work behind the scenes to like consolidate power so they can get rid of the Pope. And at the same time, they've got Mickey working as the public face of this campaign, like because he has so much influence now in the American church. And the press starts to talk about how the Pope of Greenwich Village is crusading to clean up the Vatican. So he's got himself some...
Intentional use of the word crusading? Yeah, okay.
Oh, hell yeah. We've got some catchy headlines. He's got some steam rolling behind him now.
Sure.
So this whole movie now comes to a head in Rome, and we finally meet the sister, and it turns out it's Sister Geraldine from the beginning.
Of course.
Yep. Her and a young cardinal that we haven't met before, but actually looks quite familiar to us.
Uh-oh.
They end up murdering the sitting Pope.
Whoa! But like, awesome.
Yep.
I mean, or whatever.
But like, you know, they make it look it's clandestine. They make it look like it's a heart attack or something.
Standard. So, I'm sure it's happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Mickey now is conflicted. He doesn't know what to do, but he does expect that he's going to end up being the new Pope. So he's prepared to just run with it. He thinks public opinion is going to carry him. Eric, on the other hand, is like, what the fuck? They just murdered the Pope. He tries to, like, alert the College of Cardinals to it.
Yeah.
But when he goes into the room where they're deliberating over the next Pope, he sees that not only are the College of Cardinals there, but the Italian Mafia, the American Mafia, and Frank Sinatra are there as well.
Oof. Of course. Excellent. I mean, yeah, naturally.
It turns out that they were all in on it. The Pope was disgracing the church, and they knew that old Blue Eyes had enough connections to clean things up.
Yeah.
So Eric threatens to go public with all this, and they tell him that if he says anything, they're going to murder him, and he needs to keep his mouth shut. And in exchange for not killing him, they're just going to exile him back to New Jersey, some like poor-ass church, so he can just keep his head down for the rest of his days kind of thing. Mm. Mickey figures that his time is now, but that's when Frank walks over to him and tells him that he has to go back to Jersey too.
Oh dear.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, what is happening? What are you talking about, Frank? You were grooming me to be the Pope, all this stuff. That's when we find out that the sister, Sister Geraldine, is Frank's actual sister.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And she has been grooming someone herself to become the Pope. It's that young cardinal we met.
I thought we were getting Lady Pope for a second. I was very excited.
Yeah.
It's that somewhat familiar looking young cardinal we met a little while ago. A cardinal who will soon be known as Pope Daryl.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yes. And it's obviously it's Daryl Hannah in drag. And yep. That's when we're going to play on the legend of Pope Joan, the female pope. Yeah. A thing that's not historical. Like, it's fake.
It's apocrypha, yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right.
But that's what we're going. So as Mickey is leaving, Sinatra, like, one last time, he says, "As long as I'm around, kid, I'm always going to take care of the Pope of Greenwich Village." So that's when we cut to the final scene of the movie, which is Eric and Mickey back in Jersey at the church they started at when they were in Catholic school. And they're sitting on the steps of the church, and over the radio, we hear an announcement that Frank Sinatra has died. And that's when Summer Wind starts to play again. Mm-hmm. And then the final shot, as Summer Wind is playing, you see the white smoke rise up out of the chimney of the Vatican, blowing the white smoke away. And Pope Daryl steps out onto the balcony overlooking St. Peter's Square.
Wow.
Just as Summer Wind finishes playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did it. Wow.
Wait, you have to listen to all of Summer Wind? Okay.
I mean, it's like 2.5 minutes long, so we can do that.
Into the credit sequence, I guess, yeah. I thought she was going to step out and then do that. What was that movie, One of the Boys, where at the end she rips her shirt open and her tits are just hanging out?
Oh, Just One of the Guys.
Yeah, that one.
Just One of the Guys, yeah.
That'd be a much weirder ending, but...
Yeah. Zach.
So, yeah. That was the Pope of Greenwich Village.
Wow.
Oh, cool, cool.
Not bad.
I like how there was no giant albinos or...
and Ewan McGregor didn't fly a nuke with a helicopter above the city and then parachute down. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Inexplicable cardinal action hero, Ewan McGregor, mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So, admittedly, cool. I got a little Pope heavy on that one. Yeah, so apologies there.
It was a little Pope heavy, but, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world.
It's in the title. I'm into it. That seems fun. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
That was one of the more like well thought out, well rounded movies we've had from us in a while.
did you write down notes or what?
I mean, I wrote that out.
Ah,
not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
That's my by the way, Hollywood, if you want to do like a a remake in name alone, I am that's my spec for the Pope of Greenwich Village. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they're going to do a remake of this movie.
I would watch Lee's. I would not watch a thematically similar remake to the original movie. No.
I read an article in, I think, the New York Post or something that was talking about like how it had been 10 years since The Pope of Greenwich Village and we're still waiting for a sequel. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? That's crazy.
Was it an op-ed written by Mickey Rourke? Like, what the fuck?
No, 10 years would have been like mid-transformation into Monster Rourke. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he was doing much writing at that point.
Halfway Monster Rourke. Going through that, like, fly chamber, like, 15 times.
They crossed him and Arnold Schwarzenegger and, like...
He got stuck in there with like a patch of grass that had an old school golf cleat stuck in it.
Yeah, and a boot too.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It was Donatella Versace and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he got the worst of all worlds.
It's like the worst version of twins.
Yeah.
Oh, White Shrek indeed.
Mickey Rourke is the most ideal White Shrek.
Yeah,
he might play him in the live action adaptation.
He could on Broadway. Yeah.
So Lee, do you want the IMDb one sentence summary?
Ooh, hey Seth, mm-hmm. Flawless break back in from the pause. Great job. I would that.
Yeah. Christ.
We're so good at this. Can't
I know.
Believe it.
We paused for a second, everyone. I want to hear it.
Okay, so here it is. Two cousins unknowingly rob the mob and face the dangerous consequences.
Which is
unknowingly?
Well, they sort of unknowingly rob the mob, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
That explains about 1/8 of this movie. Like,
yeah,
fuck me, there's so much going on in here.
Yeah, well, I mean, this movie is really more about acting than about plot.
Yeah, no,
that's real. Is it a real tour de force? Would you say
it's a real turd de force? Maybe.
Oh no, I enjoyed it.
Oh, I super did not. Okay.
Well, yeah, we can talk about that, but
yes, good.
So this movie is ostensibly a mob movie, though really, I don't think it's that important. But anyway, so okay, we start with Mickey Rourke, who is Charlie, and he's a maitre d' at some Italian restaurant in Greenwich Village in New York, right?
Yep. I mean, I didn't think it was like an Indian joint, so you could have just
That would have been pretty amazing, though. Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts working at an Indian restaurant in Greenwich Village,
especially with their put-on personalities in this.
Ooh, oh God!
So before you get too deep, let me ask really quick: like, what level of Mickey Rourke handsome man are we in? Has he started his metamorphosis yet?
He's so handsome. This is 84.
He is peak Rourke. Is exactly my kind of guy. Like,
he is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful to me. I don't know about you, Zach, but
he's pretty good looking. He's kind of schlubby in the body section, and like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
like, he's no Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts
just makes him feel more real to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's
No, but the thing about Mickey Rourke during this entire movie is he dresses extremely well.
Oh, he does. That's
and
true.
That is like a major plus. Mickey Rourke can't afford the suits that he wears, but he wears like surprisingly good suits.
Yeah,
he's all about his image. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the aspirational buddies get in trouble with the mob kind of movie. It makes sense that at least one of them is trying to live above his means.
Yeah, oh, they both very are, for sure.
Yeah. So, Mickey Rourke is the maitre d', and Polly, who's Eric Roberts, is his, like, third cousin, who's a waiter, who has been skimming checks. Gets caught and gets them both fired. And then we launch into like the rest of the shtick. And so Polly is always, or we'll just call him Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts is always scheming, and Mickey Rourke.
Oh yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to try to.
Generic Italian name, other generic Italian name.
There are like 15 people named Vito in this movie, so I don't know.
It's a lot. It's
like,
a lot.
Oh, my son Vito. Oh, hey, Vito, play that guitar over there. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, this is my grandson, Vito, and his best friend, Vito. No relation.
Yeah. Pretty much, yep.
Oh, no, if they were best friends, they were probably cousins in this movie.
Yeah,
I grew up Italian. I understand.
Yeah.
Wait, have you renounced your Italianism?
I'm a lapsed Italian.
Lapsed. That's the word.
I mean, if anything, I am a lapsed Italian. That's true.
That's fair, I guess. Yeah.
There are a couple of pretty great quotes concerning that. When we introduce Barney later, you'll know why. Eric Roberts is always like coming up with schemes, and Mickey Rourke for the most part is kind of responsible.
Yeah.
Like he has an ex-wife that he has to pay alimony to all the time, and he's dating Daryl Hannah, who is, as always, like not that important in anything.
Weird as hell, doing weird stuff the whole time.
Do you guys think that we think she's very like underwhelming or kind of meh as an actress just because they keep casting her in roles where it's just look at this pretty lady?
I mean, that was this for sure.
Maybe, yeah. But I haven't seen enough of her roles, but it seems like she is almost always cast in this manner. So
I mean, in this one too. So she plays an aerobic instructor for no reason whatsoever, and then they have like.
Wait, when does this movie take place?
Mid-80s, I would say, right?
Yeah, it came out in 84. Oh.
Yeah, it's contemporary to when it
it came
made.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah, they sandwich a bunch of ladies' butts aerobic scenes in for minutes at a time.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Very silly.
What would you, if you had to guess, what would you say the timestamps were for that?
I'll write them down for you, for sure.
Oh, I mean, that's a horrible thing, but just like when is it so I can avoid it?
God, it's awful. I want to tell my whole family.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you should watch this movie, but not these moments. Like, you have to cut out these parts, though, guys.
It's very gross. Eric Roberts in one of them walks up to the front of the class, and there's a ballet bar, and he just, like, lounges out on it and just, like, eye fucks all of the women. And I was like, you would be arrested for doing that. Like,
yeah, it's really, it's real
it's
shitty.
Very, very weird, yeah.
I don't know a lot about Eric Roberts, but the little I do know, I feel like that might not have been in the script.
Wait, Quite possibly. Is he in a talking cat?
So I've actually met Eric Roberts in life, and
were you getting your DVD copy of Best of the Best signed? Like, what?
No, it was my he's been in a bunch of music videos, so it was at one of these comic conventions.
Oh yeah,
things.
He was in The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, and like many others recently. Yeah, huh. And he was doing a panel, and then we like met him afterwards. He was very nice in Modern Times, but he looked like a fucking nightmare to deal with in this movie.
Great A dirtbag.
Yeah.
So I have written down. He looks like he's one key bump away from his heart exploding the whole movie.
Oh yeah.
Like I can't.
Very fidgety the entire movie. Yeah,
he's doing like Travolta from Welcome Back, Kotter. Like he's just like and, like dancing around all the time. It's insanity.
Yeah. Ugh. There's there are a couple of scenes that I'll describe later. When we get into the comments.
Anyway, go ahead.
Right. So after everybody gets fired, we spend some time with Eric and Mickey, and you know, they're just going about their lives, and then Eric comes up with a like can't miss robbery that he heard from a friend of a friend, and he heard there is this like easy like gig.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rourke is out of a job and like needs any kind of money. And so they solicit Kenneth McMillan as Barney. Do you know Kenneth McMillan, Lee?
I don't think I do. Is there anything you can anything else he's in?
He's in a lot of stuff from like the mid 70s through the late 80s. I'm trying to think of like an iconic role that he did.
He's sort of just like an older Irish looking guy.
Yeah, he's in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. He's I don't know. Anyway, he's this kind of older Irish looking fella. And he is a master safecracker. He's a locksmith who is like tired of his life and wants to. Anyway, they sneak in, they start doing the job, and a dude shows up and accidentally falls down an elevator shaft after like he's startled.
Oops.
And dies. Turns out that this dude is a undercover cop who has been wired, like has been wearing a wire for a long, long time. Basically, he's going to turn in all of the other cops that are getting dirty money from the mob. It turns out that this safe
real
is a mob.
Serpico.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, shit. McMillan is in Armed and Dangerous, Zach.
Oh, Jesus, really?
He's the guy who runs the The detective agency. The security. The Ryan's dad.
Yeah, sure enough. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, you're throwing me off because this is a complicated, it's a very convoluted plot.
Yeah.
So, the cop dies. It turns out that he was, like, wearing a wire all the time and was going to turn in all of these dirty cops. And the safe that Mickey and Eric and Kenneth McMillan were robbing is owned by Burt Young, who is this mob
dirty
boss
old mobster.
named Bedbug Eddie.
I want to name my first kid Bedbug Ira.
Oh, well.
Weird.
After Ira Glass.
Oh, okay.
Even weirder.
Oh, he did get bedbugs, didn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that kind of makes sense.
I'm
just kidding, guys. I don't want to have children. Children are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Accurate.
So after this, they pull off the thing, and then like a bunch of unimportant shit happens. But basically, the mob guys figure out that it was them.
Yeah.
And so then they do a lot of running around like, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, it's all fucked, blah, blah, blah.
They cut off Eric Roberts' thumb.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. In kind of like a... Okay, so like Eric Roberts' uncle works for Eddie the Bedbug.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, I don't know, like, if I were in this situation, I would just put lye in his coffee or something, but to get out of it. But they, like, he's like, I can't help you, even though we're family, I can't help you, and they cut off Eric Roberts' thumb, and he is, like, fucked up.
Yep.
Pretty bad.
It's no good.
This is fucking dark.
Yeah, it's kind of dark.
It's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah. But this entire time, Eric Roberts has been, like, really into horse racing and, like, bought part of a horse.
Stupid.
It's so complicated.
It is.
Eric Roberts bought part of this horse, and, there's a scene in my notes that this is where I was going to talk about jizz, where...
I'm glad you did, because I was going to otherwise. It comes up at least like four fucking times.
Oh, it comes
in this
up
movie.
So often.
It's so weird.
Are they trying to
literally,
get the horse
it comes
stumpies?
Up.
Kind of. Mostly Mickey Rourke like continuously tells Eric Roberts, "Hey, you don't know a fucking thing about horses." And then Eric Roberts talks about horse cum for like 5 minutes. Like it's the weirdest shit that keeps happening and keeps happening and keeps happening.
There's a scene where they're, like, outside making sandwiches, Italian style, I guess.
Oh, you mean mashing meat into a piece of bread? Yeah, that was
yeah,
weird.
They just, like...
Beef and cheese Delphi is over
they
there.
They kind of did. They
yeah,
need,
it's
they
just
need
like,
beef and cheese Greenwiches, I think.
Yeah, they, like, meat, and they're just... And Eric Roberts is just taking literal
fistfuls.
handfuls of meat and jamming it onto bread and talking about horse jizz.
Yeah.
And it's the most baffling
thing.
It's so stupid.
So.
Uh-huh. What's your question?
That is how sandwiches are made in Italian households. I got news for you.
Just mash it.
To this day, when I make a sandwich, it's just meat, maybe cheese.
Yeah, terrible, but I don't want to look at it.
No, there's many better parts to sandwiches. Anyway, finish up this confusing ass plot. Mickey Rourke, they go to, like, they're like, doing better. Daryl Hannah has left Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts, like, go to the... Oh, Daryl Hannah is pregnant, too. I forgot about that fucking random detail.
It doesn't matter, it turns out, yeah.
His life is just a mess.
Yeah, it's all over the place. They go to a horse track and they think that they lose, but actually Mickey Rourke made a different bet than the one than on Eric Roberts' horse, and they make $20,000.
Yep.
Oh.
But they're like dealing with the fact that like a cop died during their robbery, and everybody is chasing after them now, including Bedbug Eddie. And so Mickey Rourke is finally like, I need to confront Bedbug Eddie. And and because he's gonna like kill me and stuff.
Yeah.
Bedbug Eddie made Eric Roberts work as like a weird steward for him after he got caught.
Yep.
Oh god, okay. This is so complicated.
Well, it's they make a point out of it. Since he lost his thumb, he can't be a waiter anymore, so he's a coffee boy, and it's implied that that's a real bitch job.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm just a coffee boy. Hey. Like, it's all
funny. Beepity boppy. I'm just a coffee boy. Yeah.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Pretty much.
Okay. So.
We're so close. So wait, we're
like,
so close.
Like a barista?
No.
No. I mean, this is in the No Windows Club where the mob people hang out. So, like, he literally just, like, waits on him hand and foot and brings him cappuccinos and shit. It's, like, very dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Burt Young is, like, gonna murder everyone because that's what he does. He's a mobster.
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey Rourke goes to confront him. And, like, has the tape from the cop that, like, incriminates him with all of these dirty cops and all, like, pretty much could send him up the river for, you know, like, 20, 30 years. And they have this actually, like, really awesomely acted confrontation.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, they're both good actors.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. There's this confrontation in Burt Young's club, and while they're talking, Eric Roberts slips some lye into Burt Young's coffee.
Oh, Chekhov's lye.
Yep. And goddamn. And and poisons the shit out of Burt Young, who, like, is probably going to die because lye poisoning is rough.
No bueno. Yeah.
And as this all happens, or, like, as Burt Young is, like, running away with his mouth covered in chemical burns and everything, Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke just kind of walk down the street being like, oh, hey, we got $20,000, let's fly to Miami, or whatever. And that's the end of the movie, and the Summer Wind plays.
Don't all the other dudes shoot each other, too, though? Aren't there, like, multiple mob groups in there, and they all end up killing each other?
No.
Did I make that up?
Yeah.
Am I watching a different movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck, doesn't matter, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, we we
You're
run
so
into
just
air
definitive with that. No!
Yeah, no, there's no, we run into Eric Roberts' uncle, who's like, you guys better run, and instead of running, they just like walk casually down the street listening to a Summer Wind.
Right.
And they're like, oh, Eric Roberts, you so crazy, but you're my cousin, so you're family, so I love you.
Yep. Sure enough.
pretty much.
So, it's a complicated movie, and really, the plot, to me, is not important. What's important is, like, how it is acted.
Yeah, which, but that criticism of a movie always upsets me a bit. Like, we've said that, people have said that about Chinatown and shit, where it's like, no, if you just, like, watch the performances, or, like, what was that, the black and white one with the dude in it and all
The Last Picture Show.
Yeah, like same criticism for that one. And it's like, sure, but like I've also watched movies that had a good plot and good acting, and I think they are demonstrably better, so like what are we doing?
Oh sure. But
yeah.
This movie also didn't make me ever feel like offended or upset, like, at the way that people were treated that much.
Are you let me read you a line real quick, then.
Okay, go ahead.
Eric Roberts to Mickey Rourke at the end of the, well, near the end of the movie, talking about Daryl Hannah. I mean, you do have to abuse them once in a while. If you don't, they'll walk all over you. Sometimes when they embarrass you, you know, in front of your friends, you give them the back of the hand.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, dear God. I clearly wasn't paying attention to that. I was doing that... something else. But, like, that because Daryl Hannah is such a minor character in it.
Yeah, sure. You're not invested in her, I guess. That's fine. Like, yeah.
Well, and just this that sort of weird misogyny is not as central to the movie.
Yeah.
Which is like my main objection to Chinatown, right? Like
Sure.
Is like that's really important. This movie well,
that
is
the
not,
movie, yeah.
Yeah, like there is this Daryl Hannah part, but ultimately it's not integral to the plot nor how the actress, because she has very little screen time and they don't interact with her ever.
No,
it's mostly just the relationship of Eric Roberts to Mickey Rourke
that is the central
point of this movie.
Yeah very much so.
I don't know, so like the plot obviously was very very confusing there, Lee, but
so you guys made a reference that Geraldine Page was a real badass, but I don't think I heard her come up.
Oh, yeah, well, she is only in two scenes.
Yep.
She is the mother of the cop that accidentally died. And so when all of the crooked cops come to her house to, like, try to extort her and, you know... more or less like try to get like all of the tapes that they know that the cop had made, that sort of thing. She is awesome. She like is like, no, y'all better not fuck with me, because like here I have the quote right here. And this is what got Geraldine Page an Oscar nomination for...
this movie?
This scene.
Whoa. This is like Cloris in the Last Picture Show that she's, again, barely in. That's very weird.
Huh. Yeah, barely...
Or Beatrice Straight in Network.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
Barely in, but, like, super awesome. So these cops are trying to be like, hey, give us all the tapes, and she's like... My Walter, the name of the cop, was as tough as a bar of iron. He didn't get that from his father. Now, do you want to fight, officer? Or do you want to get the hell out of my house? And, like,
nice.
It's like the gravitas of it is so beautiful. And, I think it's a really, really well-acted scene, and that's what I would say for most of this movie, is it's mostly about good acting, not about anything else.
Yeah, no, you're right, and so we touched on this a bit earlier, but, like, especially Eric Roberts is going over the top quite a bit, but, like, it works, because all these characters are over the top. They're, like, these really, like, masculine Italian guys, and they're playing stereotypes, but I think that's the whole point. Like,
there's a lot of, like, Italian gestures and face touches. Everybody is touching everyone else's face and kissing them all the time.
Yeah, so I have written down here, you had mentioned, like, the Eric Roberts-Mickey Rourke relationship. They are, like, very good friends, and their dynamic is, like, the most compelling part of this.
Yeah.
But their relationship is very homoerotic. Like, they're always touching each other and being weird, and, like, I mean, not weird, but, like, they're, like, very intentionally straight guys, and so it's weird that they're, it's, like, I don't know. I guess, again, it's sort of an Italian stereotype, but, yeah, I don't know. It was funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so, Zach, do you have, like, notes of things that you thought were, like, particularly interesting, other than that horse jizz sandwich?
I have another good horse one.
So, good.
there's this cop. They make a big deal. They go to this bar to talk out all their plans. And there's this cop who's being a real pain in the ass. And so he tows Eric Roberts' car. And Eric Roberts goes out and argues with him, and he comes back, and the extremely Irish bartender's like, that fucker's in here every day shitting in my toilet. Like, it's very silly. Nobody likes this cop.
It's so when great.
He, yeah, so he goes, he comes into the bar to drink during his shift, and he goes to, I guess, pee or something, and Eric Roberts has horse laxatives, and he puts them all into this cop's drink. And Mickey's like, how much is that? Like, what is that going to do? And he goes, oh, well, they usually give a whole horse one of these envelopes, and then pours the entire envelope into this guy's drink.
So that guy died.
I mean, you would think, right?
So,
yeah. So then he goes out and they're like casually watching him from the bar. And then he has like a John Candy-esque, like he clenches his butt cheeks and goes like, ugh! And he's like, he's like walking across the road really slow. And then you can tell he shits himself in the middle of the road and just kind of gives up. And they called the cops while this is all happening to come down and like reported some emergency. Mm-hmm. And so all the cops get there and Eric Roberts runs outside and yells to all the cops, that cop just shit his pants. That cop just shit his pants. Yeah. It's like, this
that
scene takes like
for a long
time. It does. This whole scene takes like 8 minutes and it's just about shitting his pants. Like, it's so silly, but it was like, it was a fun break in the rest of the whole like dramatic bits, but it was very silly.
I like that in this movie, Eric Roberts, much like I know you, Zach, and I know me, and I assume you as well, Seth, really went all in on the new hobby he had and bought all the stuff.
Without a doubt.
Oh my god.
How much like weird, crazy equipment I have here sitting in my room for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, but I mean, I was not kidding. Like, this about like a quarter of this movie is spent talking about horses, which is of absolutely no consequence except for this race, which is again sort of not of any actual consequence. Like, it's so weird. Yeah. But
So I remember telling you about Barney, the like Irish locksmith guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the quote involving him when he's talking to Mickey Rourke is like, "Oh, he's not gonna give you up, Mickey Rourke, your family." And Mickey Rourke is like, "Family? That fucking kid, we're third cousins." And of course, McMillan responds, third cousins for Italians, that's like twin brothers with the Irish.
I know that was a thing back in the day, like Irish versus Italian, but they make a big fucking deal about it in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, another hint about my hometown. Main Street in my hometown, all the Irish lived on one side and all the Italians lived on the other. So.
Naturally. Yep. That's pretty much same deal here. Yeah.
So like the actual title of this movie.
What the fuck?
Okay, we're finally there. So
I forgot the title of the movie.
Because it's so like throwaway. Like I'm not even sure why you would name this that other than this throwaway line. Anyway, in the confrontation between Mickey Rourke and Burt Young. Mickey Rourke is like basically like, stop fucking with me, like I have this evidence. And of course Bedbug Eddie is trying to intimidate him. So Mickey Rourke says, Mister, I am the Pope. This might be your church right now, but I am the Pope of Greenwich Village because I got the tape that incriminates him.
Mm-hmm.
And
a
that's,
metaphor that doesn't really hold up that well.
No,
that sounds like that really smacks of a screenwriter really like thinking his line was much more clever than it was.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The things in my notes are only like, oh, Mickey Rourke looks like an actual human here.
I wrote down when he showed up on screen, I was not familiar with what he looked like previously. I had to look up several reference pictures of him from the 80s just to make sure that it was him.
I had to go through a Mickey Rourke timeline.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, who's this dapper fellow? Oh, what?
I know.
Ugh. And then we culminate in Iron Man 2. And so,
like, the only thing that's impressive is like how much HGH he must have taken to look like he looks now. Like, he is twice the size he used to be. It's
so. Someday, guys, someday I'm sure we will watch another Mickey Rourke movie.
Oh boy.
if you thought that Mickey Rourke was sexy in this movie. Wait until you fucking watch.
Ooh. All right.
Très magnifique. They say artificial inspirations all the time when they're talking about horse jizz.
So they mean artificial insemination?
Yeah,
or?
But of course Eric Roberts has no idea what the fuck he's talking about, so he says artificial inspirations.
Hey, Seth.
Yeah.
That's your third horse jizz. Congratulations.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Hey. Ding, 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 ding. We made our horse jizz quota.
Yeah, we got a hat
well,
trick on horse
thank
jizz.
Goodness I bet on the trifecta for the Hey-oh. Third. So, you oh know. My hey, God. Horse racing betting
Look at this
joke.
Guy. Oh.
Boof, boof. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think we should just get to ratings? Because,
yep.
like, there isn't a whole lot of commentary that I have on this.
There's either zero more commentary or like 3 hours more. So
yeah,
we might as well do zero.
So we might as so. Zach, why don't you go first? Apparently, you didn't like this movie.
I don't know. I feel like I've been a little swayed while we're talking.
Okay.
Well, so do you have the IMDb? I do not have it.
Oh, yeah. So the IMDb rating is pretty high. I think it was.
Yeah. I think this is well liked in general.
It's a 6.7, but then
oh, so close.
If you take that and compare it with the Rotten Tomatoes, which is a 90%.
Oh, all right.
You know,
well,
like,
yeah, but they don't. That's just if you scored over a 6, they give you a positive. That's the.
They're both. They both metric. Have their issues for rating metrics. I think I've read. I don't know. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, like, there. I mean, none of this is terribly accurate, because it's all, like, random user-oriented.
Yeah, it's same as Yelp, basically, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Okay, so 6.7.
But it's reasonably highly rated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, original movie, yeah, I don't know, like, I thought, again, as we noted, it was very circuitous and sort of, overlong, but the acting was very good. Like it had its moments where it was very enjoyable, and I think the ending was it was like it made you feel good because it was a win for the characters you cared about. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'll go like probably like a 6.5, like pretty close to IMDb mm-hmm. on that one. Mm-hmm. As far as Lee, I think you really fucking nailed it this week.
Ooh.
Like that was a very silly movie in some regards, but like well thought out, good ending. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, silly ending, but good ending. I'm gonna go like 7.3 on yours.
Hey,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
What do you think, Seth?
Lee, I like your gratuitous Pope histories.
Yeah.
I tried to stay fairly recent with them, but, you know.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. I mean, you have more.
So our audience, you know, I tried to stay within the last 150 years, so our audience would be familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I mean, with Pope stuff, that's pretty good, actually. Let's be honest.
I mean, sequel Liz lived through a bunch of those. I bet she knows.
Yeah.
I guess England is not famously Catholic, but
she has yeah, not Catholic. She's
very explicitly non-Catholic.
Yeah, Henry VIII did all
did
that for us, right? Yeah,
she did.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that he got married to the widow next door.
Ah, she'd been married 7 times before.
Were they all Henrys?
Never had a Willie or a Sam.
I have no idea what we're doing.
We're doing a goof on a Herman's Hermit song
oh,
called
that explains
Henry
it. Okay.
VIII.
Okay, yep. All right.
Wait, is Herman's
yeah,
Hermit
Henry
the original?
VIII,
I just assumed
yeah.
it was like an old drinking song.
You know what? I have no idea. I am just aware of the Hermit's Hermits song.
Is that the British pronunciation?
Yeah.
The
it's Hermans funny that
Hermits.
Yeah, there's no H's.
A group that's name depends on the first letter would record a song where you drop all your H's.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
It's a good
all
song,
right, Seth,
though.
What did you think, Seth?
Tell
me Hermits, Hermits a good band.
Yeah, in general, I really like Hermits, Hermits.
Yeah. Got that Liverpool sound.
Yeah. They, that horrible
no, I mean,
Liverpool
they do.
Accent.
They're from Liverpool, so.
Yeah, they have that accent, yeah. Lee, I liked your Pope saga.
Awesome.
And so, like, yeah, it had a bunch of history, and you know how I'll just go for that no matter what. So I'm gonna give it the same rating as Zach, and that was what, a 7.3?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, I would watch this movie.
Yeah, same.
No albinos again, as I mentioned. Weird codexes. Codices? You know what? I don't know.
That's your wheelhouse, brother.
I left out the prophecy of the popes altogether. I thought about putting it in, but yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
As for the 1984 film of the same name,
yes, because they were both made and exist.
You know, like, it's I liked it. It wasn't spectacular, but like, it was definitely worth a watch. Like, Eric Roberts and Mickey Rourke acted the shit out of it. Yep. Even though, like, Eric Roberts is a little over the top and clearly will do anything for money nowadays. But
whoa.
Fucking judgment call there.
You seen some of Eric Roberts' more recent work?
Besides the music videos, I can't name one, so you may have something there, yeah.
That's yeah. Fair. It's not great. Hmm. But Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts did a really, really good job, and I think this movie is worth watching. It's not spectacular. The plot is not there because it is convoluted and confusing.
It's there in spades, but it's...
Yeah, you're right. It's more like there's like 15 plots and they never really pan out.
Yeah.
And like they kind of underutilize like Burt Young and all sorts of things. Like it's weird. It's not
spectacular. And I overutilized Burt Young.
Yeah, because he used him in every single role of any old Italian person.
Yeah. You Madea'd him, so it was great.
Yeah. Oh, and I also very sparingly used Geraldine Page. So there you go.
Yeah.
And Daryl Hannah.
Geraldine Page in this movie, like, even though she only has two scenes, they're both really, really awesome. And like, I don't know if I would say worth sitting through 2 hours of this movie, because it is 2 hours long.
Yeah.
But, like, in context, her scenes are, like, really awesome.
Yep.
So, I'm gonna give this movie just for the fact that, like, you should probably watch it if you, like, are interested in watching good actors doing what they do, but it's not a great movie. I'll give it, like a 6.8. It's fine. It's good.
Even close.
I know.
Well, it does not reserve the coveted by any means.
Oh my god, absolutely not.
I think another thing, I knew of this title. Like, this is in sort of the cultural zeitgeist for sure. I had no idea what it was about, but I've heard that title many times, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Like,
it's significant.
It's like a mob movie that isn't really about the mob, and it's just about two, like, Italian cousins fucking around.
Yeah. More fun, even. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be the most realistic mob movie ever, then.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Nothing that happens matters, and no one actually does anything important. Yes.
Yeah.
And most Italian people are just schlubs. Yep.
In Mickey Rourke's case, schlubs in very good suits.
It's true. He dresses it up nice.
You will have that, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, awesome. So next week I'm doing Death Becomes Her. Which the boys seemed pretty psyched about. I don't know anything about it.
I'm pretty
it's
excited.
Very fun.
Yeah, yep. I'm pretty psyched
very
about
fun.
This. Yeah.
So I guess
Lee, you did a pretty solid job.
Lee, you did a real horse jizz, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The horsey jizz is pouring in. It's all over me.